last year in August, I had three good mates, all of whom had their wives leave them within the space of 1 month. And that was not my favourite month last year. And it sort of got me started on the whole thing of, why do some people's marriages succeed and some don't? And I did a whole heap of research, chatted with a whole heap of people, got some psychologists to help me out with some stuff. And pretty much for me, it came down to some people have got skills and some people don't. But skills can be learnt.
Sorry, some people have what?
Skills. And some people don't, but skills can be learnt. True? Mm-hmm. So right now, I do not have the capacity to be a plumber because I've never done the trade in plumbing. Yet I could learn those skills and I could be a damn good plumber. True? Okay. Well, in the same way, most guys, or almost everyone I've ever met, when they get married, they don't have the skills it takes to have a really healthy marriage. And yet those skills can be learned. And here's what's happening at the moment. Is there anyone here who's been married in the last year? No? How long have you been married?
Oh, soon to be married.
When are you getting married?
December.
What's your name?
Sam.
Sam's getting married in December.
Who?
Now, the difference between Sam and Lou, how long have you been married?
25.
25 seconds?
Longer than that.
Okay.
Years, shall we say.
25 centuries to Lou, and this guy's getting married in December. The difference between these two guys is that this guy's going to enter his marriage skilled up, because his generation's learned a few extra things. Lou wasn't so skilled up. The downside for him of getting married in this generation is that his culture has taught him this, and you and I know it's not true. His culture... Can you hear me at the back? Do I need to speak up? Okay. Here's what... Come up. Oh, forget your name again.
What's it?
Sam's culture has taught him that either his marriage will be a fairy tale marriage, where everything will be wonderful, and she'll always love you, and hot sex will happen 3 times a day. Or, they're just not the right people, and they shouldn't have got married, and it was a big mistake, so they should. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Your divorce is an asset and an option.
Yeah.
It's either going to work or it isn't.
That's right. So it's either going to work or it isn't. And so how many options do you have?
Two.
Whereas, you guys, I want all of us to walk out of here today knowing that there's a third option. Who's going to tell me what the third option is? Have a think for a sec. Richard wants to have a go. You pick someone at random.
Fight for your marriage. Work out.
So what's that look like in reality? Because remember, you've been there. I've been there. We've been there. What, help me out. What do you need to know?
Well, skills here. Like, I've come to skills,
yeah,
as well.
Yep, I get that.
And I'm surviving.
Surviving.
26 years.
I get that. I get that. What Richard's saying is there is a third option. There is live happily ever after, everything's perfect. I've never seen it work like that. There is... It's not working, therefore we're the wrong people, so we should split. Which is not really biblical at all. Or there's this third option, which is, it is not going to be a walk in the park. In fact, it's going to be a nightmare. Quite regularly. Good, good, good. Is your dad here? Good, as long as he's out there. Most of your expectations of marriage come because you've watched your mum and dad interact. Okay? So you just told us something about your dad's marriage. And your dad didn't come with skills. He was like you simply had no skills, right? But the third option, which his generation doesn't have, is that it is not going to be a fairy tale. We actually do, we can make this work, but that it's going to be hard yards. And it's going to be hard yards about half the time. Is that true?
Yep.
You've got to have give and take.
There's all that stuff, absolutely. But the whole thing is, it's not going to be easy, right? Now, none of these guys knew how hard it would be before they got married. And all of them thought they knew how hard it would be. Is that correct?
Yep.
You thought it would be this hard. But how hard is it?
You get it? Yeah. You can find out what you have in common first to start a marriage. When I met my wife on a holiday in Germany, she was on a holiday.
That's true. Can I pause you? We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Don't let me go away without that. Give him a clap. He's off to a big dance. All right. Now, You've got a whole heap of documentation in front of you. The first thing I want you to do is grab out the business card. Now, it's not really a business card. It looks like a business card, but it's not. Can someone pass me theirs? Thanks. This is actually a disguised secret weapon. Feel how thin it is. It's thin because it's designed to fit in your wallet. You've been given three. One for home, one for your wallet, one for your work. To the naked eye, what is it? It's a business card. Luke, what you now know though is that this is a secret weapon. Switch it over. Have a look at that. This is the purpose of this card. This card tells... I forget the first name.
Sam.
How can I forget the name Sam? It's such an easy name. This card tells Sam everything he needs to know to have a wife who feels loved. And if he has a wife who feels loved, he's got a happy wife and a happy life. You know that. Now, the problem is when Sam looks at these things, he's reading these words in work. But his wife's not a bloke. What's your wife's name?
Katie.
Just checking, it's a girl. His wife's a girl. So when he reads the word affection, you go, I can deliver that. It's that thing that leads to sex. But that's not what she means. When he sees conversation, what he reads is exchange of information. He's like, I can do that. But is that what his wife wants? No. So what you guys are going to walk out with today is an understanding of how she sees the world. And I've taught many, many men. I run courses in Canberra about twice a month. Guys walk in feeling like they know stuff. And they walk out going, I didn't know stuff, but now I do. And they're skilled up. And Richard, most of the things that you're describing in your marriage can be fixed with skills. Not with more effort, not with more motivation, because you've tried both of them, but with skills, and that's what you'll walk out of. Have a look at the first one, affection. I'm going to talk you through what this means to your wife. And you need to get, I'm not talking down here, I'm not being someone who's, I'm 10 out of 10 husband. I'm not. And neither are you. And if any of you tell me that you're 9 out of 10, I'll be like, oh really? And I'll be like, what a loser. You know, he is so delusional. You spend more than half your waking hours ignoring her and you're a 9 out of 10. Uh-uh. Wow. That's special effects. Let's talk through affection. As guys, you and I know that affection leads to sex. So it's in our interest to give affection. The thing is, affection is a need that she has that you don't have. Yes, it's nice, but really you'd trade 10 points of affection for 1 point of sex. True? But you are not her. And every time you give her a hug or whatever, and she knows that what you're really thinking is, I hope this leads to sex, it doesn't count to her. It's like a deposit that doesn't go in the bank. So if you want her to feel really loved and really valued in terms of affection, it needs to be at a time when it's not going to lead to sex. So one of the things I would say to my wife sometimes is I'm giving her a hug and I can feel her just slightly pulling away. By the way, everything I share, I've checked with my wife. It's all good. I'm not going to get murdered. I can feel her pulling away slightly. I'm like, Suzanne, this is just affection. It's all good. And she's like, oh, and she's back in the zone. Or affection, I'm on my way to work. That's a gold time to give her a kiss and a hug. Because she knows it's not designed to lead to sex. Or a text home from work at lunchtime. Just thinking of you. It's not hard, is it? Takes me 10 seconds.
If they use their phones.
Tell me about it.
Yeah,
we'll
know where it is.
Tell me that. Look, if you send her a text, it's good because it means Thursday afternoon she'll get it. And she'll feel like But that's what she wants. She wants that affection because in her heart that tells her she is secure and that you love her and all those things that are true. But the problem is, I don't know what it's like in your marriage, but in my marriage, to my wife and to me, the relationship actually looks different. Because I'm like, the relationship hasn't changed at all in the last 2 months. She's like, the relationship could have changed in the last 2 days. True? And affection needs to be every day. And if it's not every day, you and I need to know that yesterday's affection doesn't count. And in her head, she knows that you love her. But in her heart, she's questioning, does he love me? Am I still special enough? And every day that you and I go without giving her a hug, without giving her a kiss, without saying I love you, without sending a text, all the stuff that we could do in less than a minute, you could score 5 of them in less than a minute if you wanted to. Every day we go without that, she has that question, am I really loved and am I really that valuable? Because if I was really loved, he would have texted me. You get that? So when you and I look at the word affection, do you see now we are looking at a different word to what our wife is looking at? Yes? Okay, now, you think that's hard to get your head around? Have a look at the next one. Do you want to come and join us?
No.
Sure, mate. See, I'll know when I'm getting boring because that door will close. All right, second one, conversation. If you learn nothing else today, this counts. Are you married?
Yep.
What's your wife's name?
Jen.
Has Jen ever said to you something along the lines of, I wish you'd talk to me more, or we don't talk?
She never said that. That was
silly. He's in denial. As he just said, she says that a lot. Now, the weird thing is, when she says that, what do you think? You're like, what are you thinking?
We talk all the time.
We talk all the time. And here's what's happening. In his head, he's saying, we exchange information all the time. Because you do, true? But her need for conversation is not about shared information. If I haven't seen someone for a week, I catch up with them, might see them at the pub, how are you going? Really, that's good, how's work, that's life, good. Done! We've exchanged information. He knows I'm not dead, I know he's doing house renovations. Everyone's happy. You do that with your wife and you're divorced in 5 years. Because she's not looking for an exchange of information. She's looking for someone who values her. She's looking for her number one to look into her heart and to see who she really is. Remember that Peter Janetsky stuff of transparency? Girls are much better at that than we are. And if you don't have that in your marriage, it's not her who needs to change. You open the door just a crack, she'll be in there. You get me? And that's what those conversations. She's talking. You know how she talks, and you're sitting there going, well, get to the point? Like, what's the point of this conversation? And you're sitting there going, well, I say, what's the point? No, that didn't work well last time. You know that feeling?
She likes a good listener.
Yeah.
My wife likes a good listener.
Good? I'll pause you. I'll come back to it now. I'll come back. If I don't come back to it, it'll happen after. But the whole thing is you're sitting there waiting for you to get to the point. Here's the point. The point was she talked and you listened. That was the point. And if you and I had walked into that conversation knowing that all she wants is to talk and have me hear her, and that we have kicked a goal just by being there going, if we knew that, we would do it. But we don't do that because we don't know that that's what she's looking for. But dead set, that's all she wants. If you want to score bonus points, you could say, how'd you feel about that? That's bonus points. But all you really, this is your goal. I mean, dead set, this isn't hard. Imagine if you were paid to sit at your workstation at work all day just going, imagine that. You could do it because your job description says sit there and nod. Right? Or if you want a promotion, go, uh-huh. You could do that because you and I are good at delivering what we know we need to deliver. When we go home to our wife, we're like, what does she want? I think she wants me to fix this situation. You should dump that girl. She's a cow and she's been using you. But you go, I'm a good husband. Now that works at the pub with your mate. It doesn't work with your wife because she wasn't looking for a fix. She wasn't looking for a solution. What was she looking for? She was looking for you to see into her heart and see what the world looks like through her eyes. That's all she wanted. Does that make sense? Now check this out. I get home at the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is talk to my wife. What I want to do is go and be left alone for half an hour, and then I'll feel human again, and I'll be able to relate. However, I know that if I do that, it's going to cost me. So the first thing I do when I see my wife is I give her a hug, and then I spend 5 minutes listening. Just five. Uh-huh, really? Huh. So what do you do then? Huh. And how's she going? I don't even know who a friend is who she's talking about. She's told me 100 names, that's just another one to me. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now tell me, is that hard?
No, but isn't that a bit of like acting?
No, because I'm not acting like I like to be there, I'm being there because I love her. So I'm not being fake, I'm just delivering, not the goal of acting, but the goal of delivering what she needs, which is to have someone who hears her out, who's not fixing crap, who's just there with her. You got me? Now that you know that, can you imagine how different your life is going to be? You can leave now. You got the important bit. And here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is do that twice in a row, 2 days in a row. And if nothing has changed in how she responds to you, I'll post you $100. Okay? You just saved your own marriage. Because he thought there was something in it for him. Now here's the go, there is something in it for you. It's called sex. Listen to her. It will change how she feels about you, because she will go from assuming you love her to knowing you love her. You knew you loved her, she just didn't feel it. You get me? How easy is that? I don't even have to pay up. I know what's going to happen. Alright, have a look at number three. By the way, this won't be all me talking at you. This is me giving a foundation, and then we're going to do some games and stuff. Honesty and openness. I don't need to cover that today, because you got that yesterday from Peter Kinecki. Is that good or what? In other words, be real with her about how you're feeling when things are crap. Not come home and whinge about the boss or whinge about... No. Be like, you know what? I really doubted myself today. Is that hard? It's not hard. Just be real. You can do that. And when you do that, you're meeting her need. She needs you to be real with her. If all you do is act like Superman, all she sees is the surface, and she knows it's not you. It's not the real you. The only person out of the two of you who believes that's the real you is you. She knows it's a joke. But it's, you know, it's a well of living. He's still here.
Can I add something?
Hook in. Go for it.
She knows it's not real, and then when she challenges you on it, and you go, oh, it's nothing, she's disappointed. She's given you an open window to share even just the smallest bit, and you back away from it, and that leaves her going, oh, it's just not going to do it again. That's not the road towards sex, that's the road away from it.
That's right, but more than that, she left you a big open window, right?
Yeah.
You didn't step into it. What did she say that means about her?
He doesn't love me. She's
he doesn't love me? She's what?
Not worthy enough.
I'm not worthy enough. Because if he loved me, he would have taken that big opening, right? Here's the thing. Just like you have no idea, and I have no idea how she sees most things, she has no idea how you see most things. And just like you've often assumed she's a bloke and treated her like a bloke and then wonder why she doesn't respond like a bloke, she's been doing the same to you. The difference is you're here getting steeled up. So it's not her job to change, it's our job. Right? By the way, no one's going to leave here being told to do more. You're going to be able to do less and get more points for her by doing less, because you'll actually be doing like... What's your name?
Dion.
You'll be doing the sort of thing that Dion just said. Do you get me? Yes, it's scary. Peter Janetsky covered that. But it's going to pay off. Fourth one, affirmation, encouragement. Now, this is something that Watto seems pretty good at. Most guys aren't good at it. And the truth is, in our culture, we've got to the point where we think we don't need it. I don't need you to tell me that I look good. I don't need you to tell me I'm good at sport. I just decided I'm good enough. I don't care. Right? It would be weird if you were to say to me, Michael, when you talked today, it was like you really understood what you were saying. And, gee, your shirt looks good. And you must have ironed your jeans. And it would be freaking weird. And I'd be like, that's interesting. I'll catch you later if I can't find something else to do. Because it's weird and I don't want that. But I'm not your wife. And I'm not my wife. And here's what my wife needs. My wife needs, and this is bizarre, because to me I'm a boy, I can't relate to it. This is what she needs. Suzanne, I know you've got a big day coming up, but I know you're going to do great. I know you're going to do great. And she talks a bit, downloads a bit, you know. I get that. And you've done it before, and you know what? They're lucky to have you there. They are lucky to have you. You're going to do great. Me doing that is unnatural. It's like me living on the moon with all that oxygen stuff. I'm living in an environment that's not my natural habitat. But I know the impact. The impact on her is what? What's the impact on her?
Strengthened.
George, sorry?
She's strengthened.
She's strengthened? What else? What's she say about herself when I say that?
Value.
Sorry?
She's valued.
I'm valued. Secure. I'm secure. I mean something. I'm worth something. You and I sometimes look in the mirror and go, you're all right, on a good day. Maybe the third Monday of the month. She never looks in the mirror and sees she's okay. All she will ever see is her flaws, her imperfections. Because girls, they think on a different wavelength. And the way our society is set up, their society is set up to cause her to doubt herself. And the one and only person who can build her up is you. And if you don't do it, who's going to? The bloke at work. By the way, let's go back to number one, affection. If you don't tell her that she means something to you, someone at work will, right? Conversation. Who's she having lunch with at work? Why does she need him to have conversation with when you could be delivering that? And why are you going to blame her when she has an affair? You get me? I can't even tell you how many guys, more than I've got fingers for, who've said to me, my wife's bad because she had an affair. And I've gone through this with them. How'd you go in affection? Conversation. What they say to me is, I did none of that, or I did three of them poorly, and then it's her fault she had an affair. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Okay? Affirmation, encouragement. You don't need it, but she does, so give her what she needs. You got me? And if you do that, it pays off for you, as Dion said. Because she will feel loved. When she feels loved, she wants to have sex. If she doesn't feel loved, she doesn't want to have sex. She feels like a prostitute. So cause her to feel loved. And it pays off for you. I'm used to working with guys who are very worldly. So that's why I have to go down that track with them. But it applies just as much to us. We want to have sex. But then we don't put in the ingredients and we wonder why it doesn't happen. Number five, commitment to family, time, health, finances, and then an activity. Guys, this is something that you do not have your head around, and after trying to get my head around it for the last 8 months, I do not have my head around it. Because you and I think we know what commitment is to our wife. Dion, how long have you been married?
3.5.
Second. He's been married 3.5 years, I assume. Are you committed to her?
Yeah, definitely.
Does she know that?
She does.
How?
Through me doing my best to speak her language. Could be words of affection or cards or flowers or
yep. Things like that. Yep. Awesome. See, you've got lots of things covered. You've obviously done some...
Yeah.
How many hours have you put into learning this stuff?
I wouldn't know how many.
Have a guess. 100, 600,
30? Maybe 50 to 100.
50 to 100. Richard, how many hours did you put into understanding what the world looks like to her before you got married? Sorry?
Probably none.
None. Do you see why you've got a healthy marriage?
Yeah.
Do you see why you've been surviving 26 years? Because it wasn't lack of desire, it was lack of skills. This guy's gone and got skilled up, which is what you're doing right now. And I'll show you at the end of this, heaps of ways of getting skilled up. Do you get me? And I'm not actually talking to you, I'm talking to half of us. Most of us learn the skills that we have for our marriage from our parents. Yet most of us have parents who made a mess of their marriage. My parents are still together. Their marriage is not the one that I'd want. And so what happens is you go through life going, oh, I just know that I don't want to be like that. But then you don't know what to replace it with and you end up having that anyway. Yeah? Yeah. Noel, how long have you been married? 42 years. I'm saying this stuff and I was like, yeah. Noel, imagine someone had set you up for success before you got married. Imagine if you were Sam. How different would your life have been?
I don't know. I was going to say earlier, we were together four years before we married.
Wow.
We were engaged for 12 months. And that time we were engaged, we got to know each other very well. We lived together until we were married.
Wow. And Ped Janeski, tell us what that does to the statistics. What you're saying is you effectively got skilled up in that 5 years before.
And also, we both had a very loving family.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I was Noel.
I have been very blessed.
You have been. 80% of the guys here are sitting there going, I wish I was Noel. Man. All right.
Michael, you talk about family, commitment to family. Is that your own family, your own children, or
yep.
her family?
Yep. It's the leave and cleave thing from Genesis. He leaves his father and mother to be united to his wife. In other words, he makes his number one priority her. So if it comes down to what mum wants or what she wants, it's what she wants. You got me? Now, number five, commitment. This is what's so hard to get your head around. Most guys view commitment in terms of cash. I provided 60 grand last year. I provided 100 grand last year. Whatever it is you provided. I'm committed. Because we can measure it easily. Oh, I need to increase my commitment. I'll put in more hours at work. That's what she wants. It's not what she wants. If we did a survey here of all of our wives or wives-to-be, 95% of them would say, I'd rather have a guy who earns an average wage and works an average work week, 40 hours, than have a guy who works double the hours for double the cash. How many of us are working double the hours and thinking that it's going to pay off for us?
I'm getting double the cash, that's
all. I get that, Richard. There was a period of time, 3 months last year, where I was working 70 hours a week because I effectively had three jobs. I knew one of them had to go. And I cut my hours back. And it's the best thing I ever did for my marriage. But most guys don't know that. And here's what I've heard a lot of lately at events that I've been running and stuff. I've heard a lot of, what's wrong with her? I've worked my butt off the last 70 hours every week for this year, and what do I get for it? She whinges, she whines, she complains, there's no appreciation. Here's what happened. Guys like that have measured their effectiveness or their commitment by their income, and they've missed the point. Here's the best I can get of what it looks like to her. You can bounce this off your wife, she'll go, yeah, not quite. But it's the best I can get in bloke language. Pack and steal, three things. One, two, three. Time with her. And your kids. Not your mum and dad. Her and your kids. Time with her. Time, not time, but effort in terms of domestic chores around the house. You pulling your weight. You being the one who picks the kid up from soccer. You being the one who picks up your socks. And then commitment of cash. Not in terms of, I want to buy a yacht, just knowing we're not broke next year. That's all she wants. If she gets that, she's happy. You put those three together, you're giving her time, you're being a bit helpful around the house, and she knows you're not broke next year, she feels like you are committed to her. Not she feels like, she understands you are committed to her. The thing is, I know you're committed to her, but without those three things together, she doesn't feel it. Does that make sense? Hard to get your head around. And you know what? Unless you're really conscious that it's a package deal, three things, not one, it's three separate things, unless you're ticking all three boxes, to her you're not committed. Isn't that bizarre? It's just she lives in a different realm from you. But if I go to Austria, I don't even know what language they speak in Austria.
Okay. German.
If I go there and start speaking English, they're not all going to get me. And if I go to my wife and start assuming she's going to see the world I do, it's not going to work. You got me? Now, here's the deal. Every one of you, even Dion, who's put in a heap of time into learning this stuff, has heard at least three things there that they're like, really? What I want you to do is chat with the bloke who's sitting beside you about what those three things are for you, and then what it means for you. So if, say, you're somebody who went, what conversation means she just wants me to listen? Then don't just be like, oh, I learned that, but be like, okay, how do I apply that? I apply that by just listening and nodding my head and going, how do you feel? You got me? So those three things that out of that, you're just like, I didn't know that. I want you to chat that through, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Go for it. If you already knew all that, call me.
I'm sorry.
You go, okay. If you already knew all that, then you don't need to be here, and you're welcome to go, and later on you can teach me what I don't know. I'm okay with that. But if I'm like Bill, you're like the rest of us, it gets better. Tim, it gets better. Because before, you thought, if I put in more time and energy, I'll have a better marriage. And it's bullcrap. Or you need to... Guys will do anything for food.
And women know that.
You know, women love chocolate.
Do they really love chocolate? You know what's so bizarre?
They do.
You know what's so bizarre? If you give your wife chocolate, it's not the chocolate. It's that you put in a bit of time to think about it when you weren't there. Because here's what happens. You and I go to work. We're in the zone of work. Our wife is an afterthought because we're in the zone. Because that's how guys work. To your wife, she's at work. She's thinking about her work. She's thinking about the kids. She's thinking about you. She's thinking about the weather. She's thinking about her work. And she thinks if you're not thinking like that, then you don't love her. Because she's mistakenly assumed that you think like she does. Right? So you've got two options. One is to go to work, be a bloke, and go home and expect everything to be fine. Or you can go to work, be a bloke, and then at some point I have to remember, oh, she doesn't think like this. She's sort of been 30 times today, I better send her a text. Take 10 seconds out of your day, and get really lucky that night. Neil, you can put a card in the mail, she'll get it before she gets the phone, the text anyway.
What are you on?
You get some groceries from the town, and I always make sure that get a couple of these and I take the groceries, sit them on the bench. Oh.
Colin, switched on guy. I like it. Now, I want you to have a look at the bottom picture. Bill Clinton. Here's where we get very quiet on this. It's okay. Firstly, if you have an affair, don't tell us here now. Don't do it. That's not what we're here to discuss. But I need to draw your attention to some stuff. Bill Clinton will be remembered for Monica Lewinsky. Affairs happen when two things are in place. And Peter Janetsky could cover this 30 times better than me, so I'll just do the headlines. Affairs happen when you've got, one, the opportunity, and two, the willingness. Affairs, opportunity, and willingness. Now, the opportunity will come eventually. The willingness is something that you can guard against. And I'm not saying this for you as much as for your mates. If you find yourself in the spot where you're like, let's say, Tim, where are you from?
Horsham in Victoria.
Alright, let's say I live in Horsham in Victoria too. If Tim's my mate, and I really fancy one of the girls at work, it's actually really important for me to have someone to talk to. Not some worldly guy who has completely different values, but someone who shares my values. And be like, Tim, I've got to be real with you. Jenny at work, she's really attractive and I think there's an opening there and I'm just finding it hard to sort of not pursue things with her. I'm looking at the motives and I'm like, I know that she's willing and Tim, I'm struggling.
Yeah, she's got a great rack to her.
Absolutely. And you see how, jokes aside, by actually being that real with Tim, I've taken the willingness and I've taken a big step towards healing it up. Because suddenly it's not hidden away in the dark anymore.
And you build yourself accountable.
I've created a situation. It's like creating, I don't know, you know how you go abseiling or whatever and you use two carabiners? Because if one breaks, the other one holds you? Yep. Okay, let's pretend we do. And I've just created a backup in case things aren't right there. And then if Tim's a real mate, he'll ask me about once a fortnight, the next couple of months at least, how are things happening there? But while it's hidden away, I'm in real, genuine danger. And here's the go. A group of guys this age, I know that at least a third of your marriages have been impacted by an affair. You or your wife. I know it. I get it. And that's why, for the other two-thirds of you, you want to safeguard stuff. You want to make your marriage safer by doing this stuff so that she doesn't need those needs met by someone else. And you want to safeguard your own wife because most affairs that happen will happen in the workplace. And you want to be real with people like Tim about what's going on in your head when things start to happen like that. Come join us, it's fair fair, mate. It's really... No worries, it's a good place to smoke. Right under the smoke detector. No, I've got to push you, Neil, but we'll come back to it. Because if I get off track, you won't get the best from me. I want you to get the best from me. Now, have a look at this guy. This guy here is no different to you and me. The difference is he didn't chat with his good mate Tim. That's the only difference between him and you and me. Check this out as well. For those of you who have cheated on your wife, just because you've cheated on your wife does not mean you cannot be a good husband. You cheated on your wife back there. You cheated on your wife, oh, thanks so much for that.
It's all right.
A year ago, a decade ago, that's back there. It doesn't mean you cannot be a good husband in the future or now. If you cheat on your wife, you're going to have to get that clear sooner or later. And don't do it by yourself. Go and talk to a Peter Janeski or someone first, because you'll bugger it up if you try and fix it without some help. But just because you cheated on her back there does not mean you cannot be a good wife, a good husband in the future. And if you sit in the shame and guilt of what you know you did, or even if you were just watching heaps of porn last night, if you sit in the guilt and shame of that, all it will do is decrease your motivation to do what you know you need to do. And the more you ignore these things, the less responsive she'll be in life, and the more you'll be just driven back to that crap that you don't want to go back to. So sitting in guilt and shame is not going to work. You've got to take that to the cross and leave it there and get good guys around you and get healed up with that. But check this out. If you were cheating on her, you can be a good husband, future thinking. Do you get the distinction? Yeah? What am I saying, Phil?
Past is past. You move forward and you build on what's built on that.
Well, you rebuild. The past is in the past.
I've been in a situation before I was married.
Yep.
I cheated on my partner.
Yep.
We worked out, looking honest. We've been married 13 years. And we have a fantastic
relationship. Give that man a clap. So you are now being a good husband. That's right. But if you sat in the shame and the guilt of that, what would happen?
Oh,
you wreck it. You're a legend. Okay. Yeah, mate.
It's not logical to me.
Which bit?
Where it can start afresh. Because when it comes to forgiveness, I found as a pastor, today, as a husband, that women are the most unforgiving people I've ever come across.
If they're guys unrepentant. Or if you're playing games.
Even when they're repentant.
Okay.
So that's not my experience. So that's where I bring in logic.
I would trust
you. I would love that that would just start afresh.
Yeah. I'm not saying it starts afresh. I'm saying you can be a good husband. I'm not suggesting any sort of healing for that. Your experience with that is way more in depth than mine and or Peter Janeski's. But what I'm saying is there are guys in this room
mm-hmm.
who have cheated on their wife, who haven't told her, who feel like they're crap husbands.
Yeah.
And I'm letting them know that they don't have to stay in that. And I would trust your judgment over mine on that. What would your advice be to a bloke who's in that spot?
Well, I just find blokes, you know, you either have your dust up, and then, you know, that's a good example. And my wife has said she loved working with blokes because they don't bitch. And they'll have a dust up if they need it, and then also not be back at work. Yeah. And she's even said that. And yet when it comes to forgiveness, guys can when they repent to each other and they're forgiven, it's done, your mates again. But women just hang on to it. Oh, and what happened back then? What happened back then? And that I just can't, as a Christian and from the word, I just can't.
No, I get that.
I can't.
I get that.
Reconcile.
And yet there's also the balance of it that you have to give them time to heal. And that time
really?
To But most guys don't. I'm going to pause you there because we're going to get stuck on this one if you stay here.
Yeah.
But if you have questions on that, talk to Richard or talk to Peter Janeski. But don't sit on your own and don't talk to your mate who's going to give you crap advice. And don't just go and blurt it out to her until you're going to find this guy. All right, find your sheet. Actually, just before we do this, the bloke is sitting beside you. Let's imagine he just told you, I'm thinking I might have an affair this weekend. The opportunity's there, I think I'll take it. You've got 60 seconds, wait up. What's your advice to him and how do you deliver that advice in the way he's going to hear it? You've got 60 seconds, give him some good advice, go for it. Now, that whole conversation is not for your benefit. That whole conversation, Peter, is for the benefit of your mates. Because you already know what your own values are. And all of us, we have seen mates making those choices, and a lot of us have kept silent. And I think a lot of us have learnt from that. The costs are too high, we can't be silent on that. We have to gently explain them. What are the pros, what are the cons of having a pet? The cons outweigh the pros. But it's not until someone points that out to you that you weigh that up. Now, have a look at this. We've got a picture of a seesaw. I've got a picture of a seesaw because this is what I'm thinking. In every guy's marriage, Sam, when do you say you're married?
December.
This is Sam in December. He gets married, and the next day, here's what happens. He goes, I do bad things. Oh, she doesn't do bad things too. She doesn't do bad. And we live in this world where we're thinking, she does more bad stuff than me. And if there's anyone who does anything like that, then I'm astounded. Well done to you. You're enlightened, I'm not. Now, check this out. What she thinking? Now check this out. You and your wife, and me and my wife, we live in the world where we're always trying to make things fair. Because you go to work, things aren't fair, you want to make it fair. Or you were growing up with, I grew up with a sister, and things were never fair, and I always wanted to make things fair. So we'd be sitting in the back seat of the car, and I'd think, hey, wait a minute, she was mean to me yesterday. So I'll just like tap her on the shoulder while mum and dad aren't looking. And then she'll get cranky at me. What will she do? Come on, mate. I'll be like, look what she just did. Why, just she's not looking, and then, do you get me? And what happens in that situation is we've got a cycle. So it always starts with she does. She does that, this, so I do that. So she does this, so I do that. So she does this, so I do that. Meanwhile, it's a mess. So that was me and my sister growing up, right? But also that's you and your wife, that's me and my wife at times. Because what's happening is, in our head we've got, it's not fair, she does more bad stuff to me. And in her head she's got that same thing happening, so in her head it's like this. And therefore we're trying to make things fair. Like, I'm not washing the dishes. I did the backyard and she didn't even say thanks.
Yeah, it can work in the negative. It's like, she doesn't do this, so I won't do that for her.
Yeah. She didn't say thanks, I'm not giving her a hug. She didn't have sex the last 4 days, I'm not telling her that I love her. And what happens is we find ourselves locked in this cycle. Richard, the pastor, have you seen? Tell us about it. What have you seen? What's the impact of that if it's unchecked, unfixed?
Well, we're just going to
make it worse. Yeah. Because before you know it, you're at each other. Because you both have decided it needs to be made fair, but you've both decided it needs to be the other person who pays up. Does that make sense? You do it at work, who cares? You do it with your brother or sister, who cares? You do it with your wife, it's got a big impact on you and your kids. Now, here's the go. You and I are the ones who can make this situation change. Because we are not driven by the same hormones that she's driven by. And I can say this because I've got permission to say this from the girls I've talked to. There are many times where they know they are perpetuating this and they don't want to. And it makes no sense to them, but they're living their emotions and this is what they're doing. Now, you and I don't have that crap week each month. We don't have an excuse. We have a leader in our home. And it only takes one person to break this cycle off. And she hasn't been here. And she's not going to change. And expecting her to change is too hard. So who's that person? Who's the person? Me. Jason. Phil. It's me who needs to change. It's not her that needs to change. It's me. Sam, you're seriously going to be frustrated because what happens is in the first 3 years of marriage you find that her way of doing life meets your way of doing life and they're not the same. And you know, people are going to say to you, oh, you're the honeymoon phase, lucky you. And you're going to look at your wife lovingly. And then you're going to get in the car and go, bullcrap. Because the first 3 years of marriage are one of the hardest. And if you survive that period of time, the next really hard time in your marriage is 3 months either side of the birth of your first child. How many people do you know got split up at that time? Lots. Because that's another time where you're having to work out what your values are, you add a bit of tiredness, irritability and hormones, and you're in the crack. The difference is, when Sam gets to that point, he'll already know that that's a hard time. So he'll look at his wife, who he temporarily hates, and say, you know what, in 5.5 months' time, we're going to be getting along just fine. And they'll stick through the hard times. Does that make sense? In the first 3 years of your marriage, it's not going to be easy. Everyone who ever told you it would be easy was either delusional or lying or just had a family like Noel's. And you just have to survive it and it will get better. Do you see how you don't have to be in the spot of we're either happily ever after or we exchange partners to someone else? There's this third option. Just survive the hard time, it gets better. Now, getting back to this, every one of you is going to walk out different today because you'll have seen this and you'll understand how to do it. Here's how we do it. I need someone who can talk in a high-pitched voice. Richard, stand up for me, right?
Some of these young guys
are big. Richard. Oh, what do you want me to do?
Oh, what's the matter?
I really hope you wouldn't do that.
Now, this is a man who doesn't need a name tag because everyone except me knows his name. What's your name?
Yeah.
All right, it's a chick version of that. Let's call him Jenny, okay? Jenny and Michael are married, all right? This is just a typical, look forward to this, a typical sort of scout about nothing. Why did it change how I did the dishwasher? I did the dishwasher when I did my work. I feel angry about that. Right, you always do that. Okay, now you've got a bitch back at me. Go for
it. You're silent type.
you've got to like tell me why you did it and why I need fixing and hooking. Go for it.
I'm biffing that ear.
Tell me how crap I am. These guys are relying on you. Come on. Tell me why, you know, I do it wrong and I'm this and I'm that. Come on, hook in. Or do we need to sub someone on for him?
I'm thinking.
Maybe he hasn't got the dishwasher.
Maybe he doesn't. Can someone give him an idea?
You didn't do it right.
Okay, I didn't do it right. What else?
Well, you put the spoons in the wrong place, you stupid man.
Oh, if you wouldn't go and get 10 coffee spoons for one coffee, I wouldn't have done that. Why do you always do that?
Well, why don't you clean the plates out first before you put them in the dishwasher?
Oh, the plates, you and the plates. Why do we always do it without the plates? You are just so inconsiderate. Do you get me? Now, this looks like... No, you've never experienced this, but this is what it's like for most of us. Give this man a clap. Give him a clap. Come on. Now, that was an example of us doing this. Here's what I do to stop us being in this cycle, because we'll be in this indefinitely until I take the leadership role or until you take the leadership role. You know what, Jenny? I lost perspective and I raised the voice and I called you a disrespectful name and I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. That's all I have to do.
Well,
so as soon as I do that, I've stepped out of this. Do you get me? I won't do that if I'm still thinking it's not fair, she should come and apologise to me first. I won't do that. If I stop trying to make life fair and just be the leader I was created to be, that's what I'll do. You got me? Do you get me on that? Alright, here's what I want you to do. The bloke beside you. We're not going to do role players because role players are for girls and we're not girls. What we're going to do though is we're going to chat through what this cycle looks like in our home and then what it would take for us to fix it. Not for her to change, what we would need to say at those times. And I can tell you straight out what I'd need to say. But you and I have different things that we do when we're under pressure. So I want you to chat through what you would do if you wanted to end this cycle that's just become part of your life. Alright? Go for it. Marcus, what did I just say to you before? Go for it. Sometimes I do... What was it I did?
So I was just saying, I said to Michael before, sometimes we get in that cycle at home, me and my wife, Marsha, and I'll use the... Not use it, but I'll say the, sorry, look, I screwed up, whatever, but it's empty. And she sees through it in a second. And so on. You use it, I use... Well, I say we... You use it as a stopgap. You use it to stop the cycle, but it's not genuine.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work.
And it can't work because if you're thinking, I'm going to apologise, but then she'll apologise, is she nice enough? If you're thinking that, it comes through in your voice and she knows it. When you're genuinely sorry, it's I'm sorry for, and then you list out what she did. When you're not genuinely sorry, you don't do that, do you?
Get
I'm
it.
Sorry for whatever you thought I did wrong.
I'm sorry for whatever you declare I did wrong, because I know that I didn't. Like, why is that not genuine?
And you've got to follow it with action, too.
Yeah.
So, just apologising for it, and then not fixing it, not saying we've got to fix everything, but not doing the action for being sorry for whatever you're sorry for, or whatever. You know,
here's another one.
Follow for it.
If you do that thing that some couples do, where they're like, you know, we've both got kids with each other, I'm going to go and do my thing, you do yours. If you're going to do that, she's a girl, that's scary for her.
Mm-hmm.
So be clear with her. Look, I love you. I feel weird saying this to a boy.
Love you too much.
I love you, and we're just in the crap here, but I'm going to go and do my own thing because I've just realised I'm in the wrong headspace, but we'll come back and sort this another time. Because what I've done is I've used my words to reassure her that the relationship isn't broken. Because you and I know the relationship's not broken, but she carries the fear that it's broken.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, you've got to be clear with her what you're doing. It's because you haven't owned it. You've been like, have you come back in the past and dealt with it?
Sometimes I've tried.
Gotcha.
I get that.
I get that. Tim, we could unpack that and we get this out of it. Take us 5. Thanks, Marcus. All right. Move on to the next one. Open up your envelope, your plastic sleeve. Is there anyone who doesn't have one? Dion, can you come and grab these for the guys who missed out? There you go. Now, this holds more than just those little secret weapons. This here is pretty much info for the days that we run in Canberra. I would recommend it for every man who's got it. As well, there's a blue business card. Find a blue business card in there. The blue business card, can I borrow you? This is a website that some friends and I put together to equip every man with the skills he needs to stay married or to get married. There's video, there's audio, it's fun, it's interactive. Check it out. If you're someone who has trouble talking to your sons about stuff, make sure you sit down and at least point them in the direction of this. And if you are in ministry, this is a tool for you, it's free. Use it, otherwise we wasted about 600 hours of our time. Now, another thing I want you to see in here is a blank sheet of paper. Grab it out. If you have a pen, get out your pen. If you don't have a pen, then come and see Phil. He's got heaps. There's a whole heap of pens over here as well if Phil runs out. Okay, grab a pen for him. Dion, can you make sure those guys up there have got a pen and a piece of paper? Is that right? And the bloke sitting up there with guts. Okay, this sheet of paper. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to do something that's profoundly important. Can someone ask those guys to whisper?
Yeah.
Because the echo is crazy. Don't make them wrong for it. Just okay. Here's what happens. The events that we run in Canberra, guys come in, they walk out different. And then the best I can work out with on the stats is 70% of them are different permanently, 30% of them within a week are back to exactly as they were, as if they never came. And you deal with that because you're a pastor. Now, here's the go. What I think I've found is that the guys who are different and stay different are the guys who put something into action straight away. You got me? Because I don't know about you. Did you see Courageous last night?
Yeah.
You watched that, you're like, yes, I'm going to be a good husband. Yes, I'm going to be a good dad. I'm awesome. And then you go to work on Monday or Tuesday, and your boss says, can you stay back till midnight tonight? Sure, boss. No worries. All the good intentions in the world don't do a thing if your actions don't do it.
Yeah.
You got me? And I want you to think back over, say, the last 2 months, what is there that is honest and real and would bring joy to your wife or fiance that you haven't said in the last 2 months? And when I say this, I don't want you to try and get fancy. Just think, what are three things that are true would bring joy to my wife yet haven't been said in the last 3 months? And I want you to write down those three things. And then if there's more that you've got time for, write more. Okay? You've only got 2 minutes to do it, so don't overthink it. Just hook in. Go for it. You can either keep writing, or you can tune into Luke. Luke, what's your plan?
The first one I've written down is...
Stand up for me, stand up.
The first one I've written down here is a response to what Michael Barrell me with on court when I came in for lunch. When did you last say to your wife that you love her? I love you. I can't remember that. Probably quite some time ago. And then he tells me, I've got my phone here. Put a number here and do it now. I was honest, I don't know a number. But I didn't try before, but I never mentioned it.
Got it.
But yeah, but that's... But I'm still going to do that.
So how long has it been since you told her you love it?
Yeah, like I told you, I don't know.
It's ages, isn't it?
But it is ages, yeah.
Okay.
It is ages.
It's like this. Lou has had a revelation today that he can transform his wife's whole day, whole week, probably a whole month, just by saying three words of meaning. That's his thing that some said that needs to be said. You've got something different. Now, the difference is, if what you've got on this page, they can't read it, it's more on it. If what you've got on this page doesn't get said, you wasted an hour and a quarter of your life. And I wasted an hour and a quarter of my life. Got me? How many of you have got your phone on you? Put your hand up high. I've either got the phone or not. All right. Some people are saying to me, oh, the reception's crap. Yes, it's crap in here. You go 30 metres, the reception's fine. Here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is to be a man who's not passive. Be a man who takes action and who is the leader in your home. The sort of guy that you decided you'd be 10 seconds after you watched Courageous. Zip outside, dial a number, and talk to a voicemail if you have to. Like, do they have to, but follow it up with in-person stuff. Don't start anything with it that's like a discussion argument. Don't go down that path. Just tell her the good things that haven't been said. Now, I'll be real with you. When I give this sort of challenge, here's what happens. 80% of people do it. They take the challenge well enough, and they do it, and they change their world. Not just that, they change the world of the person who means the most to them, who means so much to them that they pledge their whole life to her. And 20% of people sit here like this, don't have a phone, my wife won't answer, blah, 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 when the truth is they couldn't be stuffed taking a risk. Do you remember we learnt this morning, intimacy is risky, do you remember that? Okay, here's the go. I'm looking to see who the 80% of guys are who are going to step out there with their phone, have a conversation they need to have. If someone needs a phone, I'll lend you mine. Dion's got his phone. He's got his phone. No one's going to make you do this, but I challenge you to be a man with nuts who does what should have been done before, but you can fix today and make her day. All right, this session's over. I hope you got a heap out of it. I hope to see you at one of my full-day courses. But more than anything, I hope you step outside and run the 80%. Give the other men around you a round of applause.